We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 11th chapter, titled The Calculation of Time from the Atom, verse number 18, isn't it? Maitreya said, O Vidura, the four millenniums are called the Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali Yugas. The aggregate number of years of all of these combined is equal to 12,000 years of the demigods. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The year of the demigods are equal to 360 years of mankind. As will be clarified in the subsequent verses, 12,000 of the demigod years, including the transition periods, which are called Yuga Sandhyas, comprise the total of the four mentioned four millenniums. Thus, the aggregate of the above mentioned four millenniums is 4,320,000 years, 4.32 million. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnana Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvedam Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadati Svakadati Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So it's a more a kind of a technical topic. Going into the yugas and all that. But we'll try to understand, you know, as much as possible from our end, you know. Because considering the fact that in Kali Yuga, our intelligence is very tiny, you know. Tiny intelligence. How much can you understand with this tiny intelligence? Unless, you know, Krishna empowers you. Right? But anyway, we'll try to start to Now it is said that, just first of all we try to understand the lifespan. Our lifespan we know. How much is that?
100.
Someone is already in illusion. I don't think so, anyone is. It was 100 but now it's coming down. You know. I don't, if you get 80 or something, you know, it's much, it's a good... good thing, but I don't think so. You know. It's coming down. You can see that Kali is progressing and it's coming down. So anyway, it is said 100, but it's not practical. Right? Theory level is 100. So, the demigods, the lifespan is, you know how we have got 360 days in a year, right? That is equivalent to 1 year. And according to demigod, it's only 1 day. So our 1 year is equivalent to demigods. Our 1 year is equal to demigods 1 day. So, our 360 years is equal to demigods 1 year. So, if a demigod finished 1 year, then 360 years would have passed. We would have already taken some 5 births, I think. You know, at the age of 8 years, you know, approximately. So, this is how we know, how quickly, you know, we are taking. Just 1 year, we would have already finished 5 births, right? So, how important is our birth? We will analyze that. So that to give an idea. Now, it's also mentioned that there are 6 aspects of yugas, right? Which is worth mentioning. We will not go all the 6 in detail. Some of them we'll try to talk a little bit about it, you know, so that we have some understanding, right, of yugas. You know, because this is an opportunity. Because Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, is done in such a way that sometimes when the topic comes, you know, we'll mention about it, you know. Otherwise, you know, there's no need for us to talk, isn't it? We are the last person to talk about the yugas, isn't it? So this is a time to understand a little bit about the yugas and the different aspects of yugas. So 6 aspects of yugas are Yuga Beda, which is a difference in yugas, right? Achinta Beda, Beda Tattva. So differences. So, Yuga Beda is there, which is the differences in yugas. Yuga Dharma, the particular characteristics of each yuga. We may dwell on this point a little bit. Then Yuga Sandhi, the junction of yugas, we may talk a little bit about this. Then Yuga Amsa, probably a little bit of that, parts of yugas. And Yuga Sandhana, the joints of the yugas, which we are not going to talk, which is more technical. So we might talk about Yuga Dharma, the characteristics of the yuga, Yuga Sandhi, the junction, and Yuga Amsa, little bit about Yuga Amsa, parts of the yugas. Okay. Now, each yuga is there, right? How many yugas are there? Sure. Four. Okay, four yugas, that's right. There are four seasons. So it's, see, when you see, right, it's very, very logical that everything is done by the some person, right? It's not whimsical. It's done by the Supreme Person, right? See, there are four seasons, four yugas, and four parts of the day. Morning, afternoon, evening, night. See, it's all very logical when you analyze a little bit deeper. Okay? So there are four yugas are there. So the yugas preceding part, or the part before the yuga, is known as sandhya. So the time after the yuga is known as yugansya. Yugansya. So these are the two parts it's mentioned. Okay. So yuga has got, in other words, a preceding time and a following time. There is a junction, there is a gap there. Maybe, you know, for the time to set up the demigods and other things, you know, because it's a massive operation, right? Krishna has employed 33 million demigods to manage the universal affairs, right? So the company I work is around 12 staff only. Right? Some other company, I was inquisitive, the other day I was asking, how many companies do you have? They said, I got 80. I said, 80? He said, no, 80, ours is a big company, you know. It's got 80 staff. Okay. Then other guy I asked, how many, you know, he got 120 people. No, he said, oh, in Australia, don't think that, you know, this is the biggest. 120 people is biggest to manage the company. Now, Krishna has employed 33 million demigods for the universal operation. Then how powerful would Krishna be, you know? We take it for granted. We come and see Radha Ballabha, oh, he's only 3.5 feet. Okay. You know, we take it for granted. But the Lord is kindly, has come as Archa Vigraha, at the request of a pure devotee. He will not come, you know. If you call Krishna, he will not come. Just as a request of a pure devotee, he's come and he's, you know, taken the form of Archa Vigraha, which we can meditate on. Right? This is the power of Krishna, unlimitedly powerful. We cannot even, with our tiny brain, understand the power of Krishna. So 33 million demigods are there. So Yuga Sandhya, sir, four yugas are there. Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. Now what it is said is, each of this, in terms of divine years, you know, we'll call. So demigods, 360 years. So our 360 years is demigods 1 year, right? That is known as Divya, Divya year. That's what we calculate as easy to calculate, right? So, Satya Yuga comprises of 4,800 divine years. Divya years. Okay, 4,800. It looks, oh, it's simple, 4,800 years. Now, in terms of human calculation, 4,800 times 360. How much is that? Don't. That's okay. I got it here. 1.728 million years. So, you can imagine, we would have taken 17,280,000 lifetimes, you know, if we have 100 years. So, this is the time. This is a lifespan of, you know, Satya Yuga. So, what happens is, 400 is a divine years, 400 is a Satya Yuga actually, and 10% of this is 400, sorry, apologies, 4,000 is Satya Yuga, 10% of that is 400, so 400 before, 400 after. So 4,000 plus 400 plus 400. So Satya Yuga is comprising of 4,800 years, Divya years, right? Times 360 equal to 1.78 million, approximately to know. We are not dwelling on this fact, but just to know. Likewise, Treta Yuga has got a lifespan of 3,600 years, right? Which means 3,000 years is an actual middle year, 300 before, 300 after, 10%, you know. So 3,600. Now, Treta Yuga. Dwapara Yuga is 2400, which means 2000 years is in the middle, actually, the period. 200 before, 200 after. So Kali Yuga is 1200. Out of that 1000 years is the actual Kali Yuga. 100 before, 100 after, right? If you want human years, times 360. This is how it is. Now, this four yugas on earth, right? If you add all that, 4,800 plus 3,600 plus 2,400 plus 1,200, it adds up to 12,000 years. So the four yugas, right? Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali adds to 12,000 years of demigod, Divya yugas. 12,000 years, okay? Times 360 is our human calculation, human life. Now the four yugas is known as one yuga cycle. Easier to remember. One yuga cycle. And that is also called as Divya Yuga. Okay, Divya here is the Divya Yuga. Now the four cycles again. Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, right? All the four cycles, they add up to one Divya Yuga. Or one cycle you can call, one yuga cycle. Now we are trying to understand how the different persons, personalities have lifespan, right? Now Manu, Manvantara, who's in charge of this material world, how do you know that? Because Krishna says, first I spoke Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. Then the sun god spoke to his son Manu, right? So the lifespan of Manu is 71 yuga life cycles. We are talking in terms of material life in Kali Yuga, not even 71 years, right? The lifespan is 71 Yuga life cycle, which is 71 Divya Yugas, which is very, 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 very big lifespan. Okay? And he is a devotee of Krishna. We are living for 71 years and we are thinking, is Krishna conscious? Should we accept it? Is it true? I am an IT professional, right? I'm getting $60 per hour. Now, Krishna conscious, is it true? Do we have to take up Krishna consciousness seriously? Right? That's what is our thought. So here, Manvantara, our present Manu's name is Vaivasvata Manu. Now, he is a devotee of Krishna. 71 yuga life cycles, he's been a devotee. Okay. So he lives past 71 yuga life cycles, right? 71 yuga cycle, you can say. Now, seven Manus come and go in one day of Brahma. Right? That too, I'm talking about the daytime of Brahma. The nighttime is equally as important or as long as Brahma's daytime. The nighttime of Brahma is same as the daytime of Brahma. Okay? And that is again seven more Manus. So one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus coming up and going. This is one day of Brahma. Like that, Brahma lived for 100 years. That is a real lifespan. 100 years, right? Brahma, 14. Now out of that, on the seventh Manu, Lord Krishna personally comes with his abode, Goloka Vrindavana, and comes to Vrindavana and performs his pastime for about 120 years. Very short only. Because the Lord does not want to stay here for long. We are Nitya Baddhas. We want again and again to stay. The Lord wants to finish a job and go. In that way at least, the conditioned soul will be attracted to his pastime and go back to him. That's the whole point. So, in seventh Manu, Krishna comes here. So Krishna has just performed his pastimes and gone back. That is why the Kali has come in. So, okay. Now, we have done that sandhyas and all that we discussed. Now we talk about the characteristics of each yuga. Okay. In Satya Yuga, what is the characteristics of the Yuga Dharma? What is the Yuga Dharma? We are not in Satya Yuga anyway, but we will know what it is. What is the characteristics of, or what is the Dharma in Satya Yuga? Chanting? Meditation. Right? Meditation on Lord Vishnu. So how powerful is that meditation, right? They have to sit and chant, do meditation for thousands of years. No breakfast, no lunch. Just imagine, if we skip the breakfast, you know, how tired we feel. Isn't it? No breakfast, no lunch, 60,000 years. Hiranyakashipu meditated. And he got a boon, you know what I mean? Constant meditation. It's very, very difficult. Why, you know, even one round we can't meditate properly, right? What to speak of, you know, 60,000 years. One round, if someone can do properly, then it's a good meditation. This is our lifespan. This is how their life is in Kali Yuga. Then, what is the Yuga Dharma in Treta Yuga? Performance of Yajna. We also do Yajna, Sankirtana Yajna. But the very elaborate, you know, sacrifices is done in Treta Yuga. Right? And then, in Dwapara Yuga, opulent temple worship. It was said that a South Indian temple, you know, in most of the temples anyway, but Guru Ayur, I can point out that Guru Ayur, you know, the temple worship is still going on as per Dwapara Yuga. You know, in South India, Guru Ayur temple, this is established by the wind god, Vayu, Guru Ayur. So the wind god has established a temple for Krishna in South India. And then the worship is so opulent, you know, very, very opulent, you know. It's very elaborate too in Guru Ayur temple, you know, Krishna worship. So that is opulent temple worship. In Kali Yuga, it is, we cannot do any of this. Right? See, in meditation, you know, one has to be peaceful, one has to be so kind, and one has to be tolerative, you know, one has to tolerate and all that. We don't have that attitude. So that's ruled out. Then, fire sacrifice, you know, you need a lot of opulent thing. You should be highly, very opulent to have all these materials to perform the yajna. That's also not possible. Then opulent temple worship. When we have our roaster, we don't come even for the roaster. Where is the question of opulent temple worship, right? If you follow the temple roaster properly, then at least you can say, you know, to some degree we are following. Many people, you know, this is how it happens. Roaster, you know, we have a temple roaster, right? Morning some services, afternoon some. Sometimes we understand, you know, people cannot come. But sometimes people don't come for, I don't know the reason. So this is kind of thing is happening here. And then, so that's also ruled out. So chanting, even chanting people are not taking Kali Yuga, except the devotees, right? Chanting, they say it's very hard. When we talk to devotees, they say chanting is very hard. So I spoke to one devotee, what is hard? Do you have a sofa at home? Do you have a hand, you know, five fingers? Right? You can chant. There's no need, you know. You want to sit down or sit on the floor. I said, why is floor, you know, he may think, oh, all the time I have to sit on the floor. Sit on the sofa and chant. Is it a big deal? How easy it is. See, the advantage is by chanting, you get the same benefit that people have performed in Satya Yuga and the same amount they performed in Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, all the same benefit we can derive by chanting simply in Kali Yuga, just by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Very simple. You can perform anywhere. Not a problem. So that is why this age, the demigods worship this age. Because it's a very easy means of returning back to Godhead. Very easy means of returning back to Godhead. Right? It is said that there is only two exit point to go back to Godhead. One is Brahmaloka, other one is earth. So we are, fortunately, everything works out for us. We are in this earth where happiness and distress both are balanced. Right? And then Krishna has come and gone. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and started the Sankirtana movement. Kindly Srila Prabhupada has come and distributed throughout the world. Right? So it's, this moment will be there for the next 10,000 years. So it's a very prime moment. We have to take advantage of this time. Excellent time. There is no other time, you know, which could be available for us. And moreover, we are in Australia. Imagine. What do you want? Huh? And with Radha Ballabha, added advantage. So it's the best opportunity, you know. Golden time, Kali Yuga, easy ways of chanting and deliverance. Just chant and go back to God. Simple. Okay. Now, it is said that in Satya Yuga, we'll try to understand a little bit more about that. Satya Yuga, how many avatars of the Lord was there in Satya Yuga? You know how Krishna took 10 avatars, right? Dasa avatar. Out of that, in Satya Yuga, there were 4 avatars. What are they? Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha. And then in Treta Yuga, there were 3. Vamana, Parshuram and Ram. In Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Balaram and Krishna, 2. And then in Kali Yuga, Mahaprabhu is covered, Chenna Avatar. Not many people will know. It's only for Kalki, yet to come. But this is confidential avatar for the devotees of the Lord. Not many people know. It's a Chenna covered avatar. They'll come and see, they don't know. Many people have seen, they come, you know, straight away they see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they fall at Krishna's, you know, lotus feet. You know, they don't even recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's covered. Not many people will be inclined to take, you know, darshan of Sri Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, it's a covered avatar, Channa. So, Kali Yuga, Kalki is yet to come. Okay, the other aspect is, in Satya Yuga, the 4 pillars of religion, what are they? Mercy, austerity, cleanliness, austerity. Right? The austerity we covered, right? Mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truthfulness. These are the 4 pillars of religion, okay? Now in Satya Yuga, they had all these 4. And hence, the people were very peaceful, friendly, and they could do the meditation for years after years. Because environment was very conducive. For here, when someone comes to the temple, right, it's easier for them to chant, isn't it? Because at home or at work, if my boss asks, I mean, he will not ask me, if I have to chant, you know, at work, it's very difficult. Because the environment, machines are there and so many other things. But here, naturally, it's very easy to chant Krishna's name. Right? In the same way, Satya Yuga, wherever you go, everyone is a devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. Where are you going? I'm going. Where are you? I'm going for a yajna, everywhere. They'll never say there's no movie, there's no, you know, anything. No car, everyone walking, very healthy, you know. So that is the environment. So everyone can do that. And then what happened? See, this material world is meant for this deteriorating effect. Matter, because it's made up of matter, it's created. So it will deteriorate in time. Right? That's the effect. For example, an apple, right? An apple is there. It has got a past, it's got a present, and it's got a future. It was in the tree in the past. Right? And then we pluck it, we offer it to Krishna. And then it goes into the stomach. It's gone. Right? All material product have to deteriorate in time. So the Krishna has designed the system such beautifully that everything will deteriorate over time. So that is why the Satya Yuga, Treta, Dwapara and Kali, for each of this he gave the Yuga Dharmas. So that every Yuga is deteriorating, yet you make spiritual progress. So 4 pillars were there in Satya Yuga. Now, because of the deteriorating effect of the material nature, one leg or one pillar is lost in Treta Yuga. So there are only 3 pillars left. Which means you can say 3 parts of religion, 1 part of irreligion. In Satya Yuga, all the 4 parts were existing. Now, in Dwapara Yuga, only 2 parts of religion, 2 parts of irreligion. And in Kali Yuga, 3 parts of irreligion, 1 part of religion. They say it is truthfulness, but I can't believe that. Anyway, here at least you can see some point is there, but you know, elsewhere, you know, truthfulness, that's also deteriorating, right? So basically nothing, there's no leg at all. You know, religion, how can it stand? So this is the effect of that. So another aspect is, it is said that in Satya Yuga, the devotees and the demons, right, they live in different planets. Right? You know how the churning of the milk ocean, they were in different planets. Then, in, see, all, everything is deterioration. Basically, you can see the deterioration in Kali. Then you can understand the Kali, how it is. Then, in Treta Yuga, devotees and the demons were in different countries. Classic example is Ramayana. Rama and Ravana. India, Sri Lanka. Now, India, Sri Lanka means we'll say, what's the score? Before we say India and Sri Lanka, you know, immediately they assume this is all in the mental concoction. What's the score? There won't be any match. This is how it is all the time. You know, mental concoction is going on, right? So in Dwapara Yuga, they are in different families. We see, you know, in Mahabharata, right? Different families. Then in Kali Yuga, it's in the same person. 1 minute, Hare Krishna, Hare. Next minute, who asked you? I did not ask you that. See, we behave like that. Same person, but different because of the mental, because of the effect of Kali. Right? Now, why did Krishna organize like this? Why did he do like that? Did Krishna do that? Krishna did that because someone has to do that. But it is for our benefit. How can you say, someone can say, how can you say it's our benefit? Why Krishna has to organize? He can make Satya Yuga all the time, right? Why there is a decree, you know, deteriorating, you know, yugas? See, what happens? Let's try to understand a little bit, okay, about the body and soul. Then we will know. Now, the soul, which is a fragmental part of Krishna, soul, is Satchitananda. Okay, it's got a natural attraction for Krishna. Natural attraction. It is not artificial. See, we have to sit down and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You know, we are doing it. Why? Because we are reviving our position. We'll come back in a minute. So the soul, natural position is to be attracted to Krishna. It's not false. There is nothing, you know, covering about it. It's a fact, well-known fact. Right? So because of Satchitananda, the fragmental part of the Lord, it is completely transcendental. So its natural affinity is there. But Krishna is completely spiritual and completely independent. Okay? Now we are a fragmental part of Krishna. So we have got a tiny independence. Tiny independence. So what we do, with a tiny independence, we want to be independent. Right? Got the point? This is how it works. So with a tiny independence, we want to be independent. So the desire grows. Why Krishna? We are also fragmented. We also want, you know, we want to be independent. That independent nature, because of that nature, what Krishna has done is, he has kindly placed us into the material realm. See how he works? He has kindly placed us in the material realm. Now there, in the material realm, what happens is, you are covered by matter. A soul is covered by two layers of matter. The gross body and the subtle body. The gross body is made up of earth, air, water, earth, fire, ether. That's how it is. This beautiful body is covered by air, water, air, earth, fire, ether. Right? Five gross elements. And then the subtle body is made up of mind, intelligence, false ego. That is also matter, but subtle matter. So there's eight components. Bhumi apo nalo vayur. Kam buddhi mano evacha. Hankara iti yame binna prakriti astat. It consists of eight elements. Now what happens is, because the soul is covered by these two layers of matter, it gives an independent existence. It gives an independent existence. You are covered, you know. You are covered in this room. So in the room, right, when you are alone, you think that you are alone. When you see many people, yeah, you know many people. But when you are there alone, you think like that. Each soul is covered by matter. So we think that we are alone. And what happens is, because the soul is covered by matter, and because the property of the soul is to serve the Lord lovingly, is completely satisfied and happy. Because the soul, which is tiny fragmental of the Lord, naturally serves the Lord. That's the propensity. He is happy and completely satisfied. But because of the separate existence, what he does is, instead of serving the Lord, he turns everything to himself. Me. I am the center. See? He becomes the center. Diverted. Just reflection. You know? He thinks everything. How does it work? In terms of me and my extended body. Me. Because body itself is created. Me, my family, my friends, my relatives. See? And then the whole material existence spreads with this analogy. Me, my family, my wife, children, relatives, friends, society. That's it. One lifetime is finished. So, what happens is the soul, right, because of the misidentification with his body, gross body and subtle body, he travels through different species. A soul takes up a journey. Like how, you know, we go a journey, right, from Melbourne to Sydney. Like that, the soul takes a journey, right, taking different species of life. Sometimes high, sometimes low. So, what do we mean by that? Sometimes as a demigod, in the mode of goodness. Sometimes king, mode of passion. Sometimes like a dog or a cat. We have all been through this. Our mind will not accept, oh, I am not a dog. But it's a fact. We have gone through that. Because it's the same body. You know, the body is given by the material nature. Yantra rudaya mayaya. It's a body, it's a machine given by the material energy. See, it depends on how you use a machine. If you use a car, right, the government has, or the company has given you a car. If you use a car for your family, you know, needs, the company will take away the car. So the body is given for a particular aspect. If that body is misused, you know, for sense enjoyment, you will not get the body back. Some other lower species. So we have been constantly going through this journey, you know, of different species of life. Now, there is an appropriate verse in Bhagavad Gita, which I thought I'll tell you. This is a very good one, to relate how the soul is going through species and enjoying. So this is 13.22, the nature, enjoyer and consciousness. Krishna is saying, the living entity, the material nature, thus follows ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with the material nature. Thus, he meets with the good and the evil among various species. So he continues his journey, you know, in that, you know, good, bad, everything, you know, different species, he goes through that. Now, unless this journey is intercepted by a pure devotee, the journey continues. You have to take births. Because the living entity is suffering because of the attachment to the material energy. It's the root cause of his suffering. The root cause of living entity suffering is his attachment to the material body. So what is the root cause? What is the antidote for it? Attachment to the spiritual energy. There's no suffering. You attach to Krishna, Krishna consciousness, there's no suffering. Material energy will not do anything. Why? Because there is a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Dasa Kaviraja Goswami says, Krishna Bhuli Se Jiva Anadi Bahirmut Ata Eva Maya Tera Deha Samsara Duk. What does it mean? Anadi Bahirmuk. From time immemorial, we are turning our back towards Krishna. Instead of seeing Krishna and doing service to him, because we are spirit soul, we are turning our back towards Krishna. And what does a Maya Shakti do? Maya Shakti, which is the Lord's own energy, divine in nature, That troubles a living entity. Because you are not serving my Lord, I will trouble you. Threefold miseries. The misery, Adi Bhautik, Adi Devi, Adi Atma. It will produce, it will make the living entity. Because the material energy is, after all, it belongs to the Lord. The material energy is the Lord's own energy. Why will it harass a living entity? Because of the forgetfulness of Krishna. See, this is how Krishna is set up. So if one turns to Krishna, no more suffering. Maya Shakti will not do anything. Maya Shakti, it's an energy of the Lord. Right? It keeps on troubling the people. So as long as you, how does it react? How do the living entity act in that way? Three modes of, he says, the Lord is saying enjoying. So the enjoying and the controlling propensity is created by the material nature in the living entity. So rather than using everything in Krishna's service, he tries to enjoy matter. He tries to control matter. I am a manager. I am a husband. I am a wife. Trying to control matter. So hence, there will be a problem. So controlling and enjoying, these are the two problems of the living entity. Now Krishna conscious eliminates this problem. So by serving the Lord, again reviving, that's what Srila Prabhupada always says, reviving your Krishna consciousness. Because right now you are gone separated, you are gone astray, you moved away from reality. We are moving in Kali Yuga more and more and more from reality. So what is reality? Reality is a soul. But they are doing so much for the body, they are going away and away from Krishna. In Kali Yuga, people think that I am the center of the universe. Right? I am the center. Everything is revolving around me. It is not. We are a tiny fragmental portion of the Lord. Everything is revolving around Krishna. Because he is the Supreme Lord. Not us. So material energy gives a false, you know, sense. Right? Everything is revolving around me. And this is where is the root cause of our existence problem. And the mind, which is the cause of all turbulations. See, Jatabharat, in 5th canto, he's talking to Raghuguna. He's saying, the mind is the cause of all turbulations in the material world. So try to, one should never fail to control the mind. One should control the mind at any cost by following the instructions from the bona fide guru he gives. Because the mind is the cause of all turbulations. In the same way, the Avanti Brahmana, in the 11th canto, he is saying, because he went through a problem, right? And then he realized that. And then he is saying, the root cause of my problem is not my family. Is not my friends. Not my relatives. Is not my karma. Is not providence also. He is saying it's not even material nature. But it is simply my mind. The root cause of all the problem is my mind alone. So that mind, I will submit, like the previous acharyas, at the lotus feet of Krishna. Avanti Brahmana takes a vow. And Krishna says to Uddhava, see, he took a vow and he came back to me. He said, that mind, I will submit at the lotus feet of Krishna, like the previous acharyas, and I'll go back to Krishna. And he succeeded. He went back to Krishna, which Krishna is talking to Uddhava. His dear devotee. So the mind is the one which is causing all turbulences. What does a mind do? Oh, 5 years back you did that to me. 2 years back you did that to me. I want you all to go to a different universe. Now, you are good to me. You are good to me. I want you in my universe. I don't want all these people. They have to go to a different universe. Because I am the center of the universe. The mind is thinking. The cause of all turbulations is mind. So again, Jadabharat is telling to Raghuguna how to control the mind. Also he is telling. Because what happens is the mind, right? Anyway, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gave a very elaborate class on the mind. So you might have got some ideas about it. But quickly, you know, one point about the mind is, the mind constantly wants to extend its territory, its army. How does it do? The mind has got 5 knowledge-occurring senses and 5 working senses, right? So the mind is only not factual at all, it's material. The mind is material, it's not factual. But the influence is very powerful. If first I'll be thinking something, oh, I want to hit you, you know, that's you know, it's going on in the mind. And then later on the action comes, hitting. So like that, the mind is not factual, it's matter. It's nothing, it can be neglected. The best way is to neglect. But how it works is, it expands its territory through the eyes. It sees one movie, two movie, three movie, see? Then it expands. Then here, one Bollywood song, two. Then all songs like that. Then mouth. First I want dokla. Then I want pizza. Then I want lasagna. Then it extends. Then the sense of touch expands. See? Then once it expands, it's impossible to control mind. Because it's expanded, right? See, the eye has expanded. The ear has expanded. The mouth has expanded, right? And whatever the organs have expanded. Now the mind will be like 10-headed Ravana. It will never listen. No. Impossible. The only way to stop is by, because it's a mantra. Man means mind. Tra means to deliver. The only way is by constantly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
The other way is mind can be also controlled by three levels. One has to seriously follow these levels if they want to. At the bottom level, the mind is here. At the bottom level, one has to control the senses. At the same level, one has to chant. At the top level, one has to read scriptures. So the three level, if you control, then the mind can be controlled. There is no other way. Even, see, this level, at the bottom, you try to control the senses and you chant. But if you don't read scriptures, again, it will bump up. You should be always, the mind is compared to like a wild animal. It will always go out of, you know, the animal, how can you control, you know? It's an animal. It always wants to jump, you know. So always, so a trainer, hunter, what does he do? He captures the animal and he always keeps under control. Never allow the mind to go. And Krishna says in the 6th chapter, the mind will wander. Again, bring it back through intelligence. Because above the mind, Krishna gives a hierarchy in the 3rd chapter. Above mind is intelligence. And one has to strengthen the spiritual intelligence without which the mind cannot be controlled. So you have to constantly drag the mind. Because it's a person. Right? The only thing is, it's a bad person. The mind is a mind itself, it is said that it's an enemy and a traitor. The role of the mind is to take you away from Krishna. Because mind is it's a material, right? Naturally, it's attracted to the material objects. Krishna has created like that, right? It's nothing wrong with the mind. The mind is matter. It is naturally attracted to matter. So one has to train the mind and engage such that all its activities are Krishna conscious. Then the mind will perform. Like a child, you know. When the child goes to a toy store, it will take as many toys as possible. And it will not let go, right? The same is, mind is like a child too. It goes and hangs everything. I want this, I want this. And not let go. It's the nature of the mind. So the only way is training the mind, you know. The mind is the cause of all turbulation. Okay, I think I'll stop here. So if anyone has got any quick questions, comments, we'll see. Let's wind up. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
One comment and one question. The comment is, as you said, mind is most difficult to control. A humor incident, I was called in the emergency. There was a big person, about 18-year-old man. He had taken so much chicken, filled up to here. He couldn't breathe. He liked chicken so much. So he could not even teach, he was prostrated. So we had to take out all the chicken, so much chicken. Everybody was laughing in the theater. So that's what mind is. So foolish. And I'm just giving an example. how stupid mind can be, how prevalent. And my question would be, we are using the word Krishna consciousness. Can you please tell us what is Krishna consciousness to the people who do not know about Krishna?
Whatever we talk is Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, your realization.
Before we know Krishna consciousness, we should know what is material consciousness. That's what we are in. Right? So material consciousness is a cause of conditioned life. Right? So where conditions such as birth, death, old age, disease is imposed on the living entity because of the living entity's material consciousness. A living entity is spiritual in nature. Right? See, I am not this body. I am the person living inside the body. But what we try to think is, we always assess a person based on the body. You are a person inside the body. You are a person inside the body. You are not the body. Because the body is constantly changing. It's matter. Right? So, right now we have got material consciousness. That is a cause of conditioned life. Krishna explains. That mind has to become spiritual. That is Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna conscious means mind becoming spiritual, because in the material world, the only tool is mind. See, we cannot realize that we are a spirit soul. It's a very high stage. We can realize, but it's quite hard because the mind will constantly come and overpower it. So the maximum we can realize is out of Satchit Ananda, such is eternity. Soul, it's difficult. Ananda you can experience, even a new devotee. The soul property is Satchitananda, okay? Ananda, anyone can realize by chanting the property of the soul. Satchit, knowledge, yes. There are many people here. Knowledge can be also. But the soul, realizing that you are chit, sat, sat, that you are eternal, is a very, very hard thing. It's a last stage, you know. It's completely spiritual, right? You will not have any attraction for matter. That will come only when the mind is completely spiritual. All the senses should be serving Krishna. We have got 10 senses, right? All the 10 senses, Krishna expects, should be eliminated by knowledge, by service. Then one becomes that is a soul. It's a very... See, the living entity has to do a lot of work, okay? Krishna has left a lot of work. If one is lazy, one cannot be Krishna conscious. One has to do a lot of work, right? Do a lot of work. So one has to change the consciousness of the mind from matter to spirit. Then you will get liberation. Liberation is not that, you know. But it's easy for a devotee because Krishna is taking care like a child, you know. Otherwise, liberation is very difficult. So the mind, okay? So material consciousness is a cause of conditioned life. We are getting repeated birth and death because of material consciousness. Mind, matter, same. We did not correct our mind in the previous birth, so we got this birth. In this birth, if we don't correct the mind, we'll get one more birth. Jata sihi dhruva mrityur, dhruvam janma mrityascha. Krishna is not hiding anything. But in this birth, did you control your mind? Did you make your mind spiritual? Then no more birth. So it's all revolving in the material world, it's mind. That's why Jadabharata said, mind is a cause of all troubleshooting. So constant chanting of Krishna, constant theory, constant service. Slowly. It's a gradual process. You cannot, you know, renounce that and come. Gradually. It's like climbing a mountain. Krishna consciousness is climbing a mountain. Slowly. Not many people want to climb the mountain. And even after climbing, people said, I did not see that park there. I didn't see this park here. So they fall down. You know? Oh, how could I went there? I didn't see that. They come down, go up. Okay. We'll stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nithai Gaura Premanath.
Very nice class, very nice. Prabhu, I want to ask you one question.
1 second, I'll come out. Then I'll talk to you when doing the prashadam and all that. Talk to you.
Now, quickly for a minute. It's a small question.
I'm telling you, your questions are very big. I have to think.
My question.
And Hare Krishna.
Congratulations.
Hare Krishna.
My God brother can such all Guru Maharaj mercy.
Mercy. Guru Maharaj.
How is his health?
Yeah, yes. It's much better.
Much better.
It's better than me. My body may be good, but mind is not good. But Guru Maharaj's mind and intelligence.
This is Bhurijan's Prabhu's distinction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Words you say.
Which one you said, sir? Center of the universe.
Yes.
Not bad, yes. Who
oh, can I ask now?
I have a question.
One second. Okay. Prabhu, Ella, Mala, and each of you have to give me, you know, $15 one question.
I can only give you this.
Yeah.